First, I offer my unlimited obeisances
Charanadiri
and the dust
July
of the lotus
30th.
feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, bestowed to the Satishri Shimai, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances and the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad, bestowed to the Satishri Shimai, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. First, Basanti, did you find the internet for the ITV? Can you do that during the class?
Yeah.
Also, Vinay Prabhu,
here's the fax one.
You were mentioning that you wanted to distribute CDs of very inexpensively distribute the CDs of this class, these classes, as well as, and more importantly, Srila Gurudev's classes on Jiva Dharma. And I just wanted to let you know that Sripad Trudani Maharaj is here in Malaysia, and he told me yesterday that he actually read aloud 22 chapters of Jiva Dharma. And he has them all on one MP3. So if you want to, you know, distribute a triplicate, then that's fine too. He's in, yeah, Kuala Lumpur now. Okay, and Achyuta Krishna Prabhu will be in Vrindavan. And we could even get an MP3 from him today, hopefully. Oh, that's right, but that doesn't help you. We can give it to Achyuta Krishna. That's right. What? You will speak to... What did you say? You will speak to Achyuta Krishna. Okay, that's great. So... we were in the middle of chapter 7, and we're discussing the life of Chandidas and his wife Damayanti, who previously were very miserly attached householders, whose children also became miserly and attached, and with no serving attitude. And so they trickily, in a very tricky way, they got rid of their father by ostensibly sending him to Navadvipa for his spiritual benefit. Then they locked the doors, wouldn't let him back in, and found the hidden treasure, divided it amongst themselves, never to allow their parents back into the house. So their parents took it as Krishna's mercy. They took it this way because of the influence of the Dham and the influence of one Vaishnavi associate that they had. And they met with Yadava Das, who was giving classes in Kaliagram, where they were living. And Yadava Das took them to Pradyumna Kunj in Godrumdweep, where our heroes of Jiva Dharma are residing, that is, Prem Das Babaji Maharaj, Lahiri Mahasaya, Vaishnava Das, Ananta Das, and so many other Vaishnavas. And then Yadava Das introduces his friend Chandidas, and the Vaishnavas, headed by Prem Das Babaji, selected Ananta Das to reply to Chandidas's questions regarding what is material existence, what is samsara. So he's been explaining about the two different kinds of jivas, the liberated and the conditioned, and how one by sadhu sangha can get out of the material existence. And now he's begun to talk about Grihastha Vaishnavas. Because in previous chapters, We read how there's no bar to Shuddha Bhakti, to pure Bhakti, by any of the Varnas or Ashrams, or even one who's outcast from the Varna Ashram system. Birth doesn't matter, but one's qualities matters, and that comes by chanting Hare Krishna ultimately in the association of sadhus and hearing Harikatha from them and taking their shelter. So now, Advaita Adnanta Das is just saying that a devotee grihastha, because Yadava Das was asking on behalf of Chandi Das, how do you know who is a sadhu to take shelter of? And then Ananta Das was explaining that there's different kinds or different levels of sadhus, and that a grihastha Vaishnava, who is not making his family his center of his universe, but Krishna as the center, all of the senses of that grihastha and his wife and children are engaged in service of Krishna. And he considers his wife not as his own maidservant, but as a maidservant of Krishna, and his children as servants of Krishna. And the maidservant of Krishna and he are to assist each other in developing their Krishna consciousness and serving Vaishnavas, or by serving Vaishnavas, and engaging their children in nourishing their children to become pure devotees. So now, Ananta Das is saying that a real devotee grihastha can possess the opulences of Vaishnavism if he's not attached. Without attachment, he can be called a grihastha Vaishnava. And his association should be sought after if he's pure. And in Kali Yuga, everyone should the jiva should become a grihastha Vaishnava. So, at this point, Srila Gurudev gives a 6 or so page footnote on what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur means when he says there that the jiva should become a grihastha. Srila Gurudev comments that, I'm trying to find where that particular quote is of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is where we're going to begin our footnotes by Srila Gurudev. Okay, yeah, 156. Only grihastha bhaktas can possess material objects and utilize them without becoming attached. It is most appropriate for jivas in the age of Kali to become grihastha Vaishnavas, for then there's no fear of falling down. In fact, it's stated in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the wife is compared to a fortress for the husband, because he can be in a room of so many women and there's no fear of falling down because he's protected by the fortress of his wife. Of course, in Kali Yuga we see that this doesn't take place all the time. So Gurudev is commenting that what does Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mean when he says there's no fear of falling? He says there's no fear of falling for someone who's already fallen. Of course, a pure grihastha Vaishnava doesn't have to be fallen. But in the case of general householders, it's considered the lowest of the four varnas. Varnas means in the four ashrams, that is sannyasi, brahmachari, sannyasi, vanaprastha, brahmachari, and grihastha. When Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that everyone should become grihastha Vaishnavas because then there's no fear of falling, it means that one should live in an unfallen condition. Whether one is a sannyasi or a vanaprastha or a brahmachari or a grihastha, one should live in a situation where he won't be fallen. Gurudev said it's not the intention of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to say that everyone, regardless of his eligibility, should be grihasthas. If one has the eligibility for a renunciate, then he should obviously be that. If someone is attached to fruitive activities and in the modes of passion and ignorance, he should be a grihastha. This doesn't mean that the sannyasis of these days are all beyond passion and ignorance. Whenever Srila Gurudev gives sannyas in Navadvip, he always says that what are the qualifications of a sannyasi? There's two qualifications. One is trinadapi samichina tarodapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. I remember when Gurudev gave sannyas to Padmanabha Maharaj a few years ago. The next morning, Gurudev kept saying to him, "Be niche, be niche. Think yourself the most fallen." So that's one quality of a sannyasi, trinadapi sunichina. And what? It's what? My voice is what? Now is it okay? I'm on the speaker. I mean, I'm not on this phone speaker. I'm on the amplifier speaker. It's not clear? Even now it's not clear? It's better now? Now how is it? If now it's very better, now it's the best. Is it very clear now? Okay, I'll continue then. Hare Krishna, is that clear? Okay, so yes, clear? Okay, so the one symptom of sannyasi, Gurudev says every year, is trinadapi sunichina, and the other one is vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarapastha vegam. That is, one who controls the urges of his six pushings. That is, the urge to speak, the urge of anger, the urge of the mind, the urge of the tongue, belly, and genitals. He can become a spiritual master for the whole universe. So this is the second quality of sannyas. Then Gurudev said there's two types of sannyas initiation. One is to give initiation to those who are qualified to be sannyas, and the other kind is to give sannyas to those who are getting a chance from Guru to be sannyas. He doesn't have the qualifications yet, but he's being given the opportunity to come up to that. And then Gurudev said, everybody that I give sannyas to now is, I'm giving them a chance to come up to those qualities. And when we were in Los Angeles, just a few weeks ago, Gurudev said that a grihastha can be more advanced or more high than a sannyasi if he has the qualities of a sannyas. If he's giving everything to Guru and not keeping a penny in his pocket, if he's not desiring sweet things to eat, but he's eating, or rather honoring prasadam, just for the purpose of maintaining his body and honoring Prasadam in the proper way, to see it as non-different from Krishna and Krishna Nam. And if a sannyasi is hiding and enjoying nice foodstuffs, I don't mean taking nice foodstuffs, I mean enjoying nice foodstuffs and desiring and keeping money for himself, then who's really a sannyasi and who's really a grihastha? Everything, as explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Anantadas, is by consideration of quality. So, Srila Gurudev continues that one should not marry for the purpose of enjoying having children or to worship the forefathers. But one should think of his wife as a maidservant of Krishna and not consider her for his pleasure, but for Krishna's pleasure, and nourish her relationship with Krishna. Generally, in the social custom grihastha situation of social Vedic life, as opposed to Vaishnava Dharma, one's son is called Putra, because there's a hell called Put, and Putra, tra means deliver, just like mantra delivers one from the agitated mind and puts them on the spiritual mind platform. So Putra means the son who delivers the parents from the hell called Put. But one should be a grihastha in such a way that there's no question of him going to hell, because he's engaging his family activities, wealth, and energy with Krishna as the center. His wife being a maidservant of Krishna, so him assisting her in her relationship with Krishna, then there's no need for a putra. Rather, he considers his son not as putra, but as a servant of Krishna. Then Anantadas quotes the Vishnu Purana, which says that by engaging in one's duties in Varnashram for the purpose of worshipping Vishnu, this is the perfection. But when Rai Ramananda told this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this is external. If their motive is that I'm worshipping Vishnu by engaging in moral, motive goodness, social interactions, so that Lord Vishnu will make me happy in this world, then the whole thing is not only external, but it's material. It's naimittik karma. One should remain in the Varnashram institution according to his eligibility, that is, according to one's characteristics or qualities. That determines whether one is a Brahmana, a Vaishya, Sudra, or a Kshatriya, not according to what caste he's in or what kind of family he's in, but what kind of qualities he has. For example, Narada Muni is born in the family of Sudras, but who can say that he's a Sudra? Prahlad is born in the family of demons, but who can say that he's a demon? Bhakti Prabhara, Sri Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai, is the best of the Vaishnavas. So even though this is all, for those of you who came in late, what we're discussing now is Srila Gurudev's six or so page footnote to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement through the lips of Anantadas, that it is most appropriate for the jivas in the age of Kali to become grihastha Vaishnavas for then there is no fear of falling down. So Gurudev is explaining that what he means is one should remain in a situation where he won't be fallen. It doesn't literally mean that every jiva, regardless of his eligibility, should become a grihastha. Srila Gurudev refers back to the third chapter of Jiva Dharma, which states that the sannyasi is the highest of the four orders. Then comes the vanaprasthas, brahmacharis, and then the grihasthas. Then he quotes, Gurudev quotes the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Which states that one is considered as higher or lower in varnashram according to his nature. So a sudra Vaishnava is no longer a sudra, he's a Vaishnava. And in the scriptures, Prabhupada and Gurudev always quote that one who considers the Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava, on the basis of his birth, considers him as coming from a certain caste, that person who considers like that is a resident of hell. Just like one who sees the deity as made of stone or wood or some material object is a resident of hell. A grihastha is in varnashramically speaking, that is by consideration of the vyaharika, the social custom, varnashram dharma. The grihastha is considered to be on the lowest rung. But this is only when he's without renunciation in his heart. There are many pure devotee grihasthas who are associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for example. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself is a grihastha Vaishnava. So Srila Gurudev explains that the different jivas have different tendencies. One who has a tendency towards sex life, meat eating, wine taking, no one can stop him. If one actually has a strong tendency, it can't be stopped just by saying stop. And therefore, the Vedas recommend different religious activities in order to regulate and gradually draw that individual away from sinful activities. For example, if he's attached to meat eating, then there's an injunction in one of the Vedas that he only eats meat at a certain time, and during that time he whispers in the ear of the animal that I'm eating you now, and in your next life you can eat me. So gradually he begins to think, I think I'm doing something wrong here. It's not exactly in my best interest. So gradually he gives it up. Also, for those who are addicted to take wine, there's certain restrictions. The Vedas never encourage illicit or immoral activities, because the whole purpose of the Vedas is to make the living entities happy and free from material existence. But because one cannot give up their tendencies abruptly, therefore there's rules and regulations. Similarly, if one is attached to sex life, then he can enter into the grihastha ashram with rules and regulations, teaching the grihastha how to gradually become renounced and fully moral, and to draw them away from all material and sinful inclinations entirely. So grihastha ashram is necessary in Kali Yuga in order to draw the living entity away from sense gratification. It's not the intent of the author of Gurudev says, he keeps saying that it's not the intention of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to say that no matter what one's eligibility it is, he should be a grihastha. Then, very interestingly, in the continuation of his footnote, he begins to speak about brahmacharis and sannyasis. And we can see this, we can see that Srila Gurudev actually wrote these footnotes before any of us really, before most of us knew that there was such a thing as Krishna consciousness. Because this English translation is just coming from Srila Gurudev's Hindi. And the Hindi was translated so many years ago that Param Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Prajnan Kesava Gosvami Maharaj, wrote the introduction to it. So that means he was still on the planet, which means it was before 1968. And the Jiva Dharma, previously to becoming a book, was previous to that articles, chapter by chapter or part by part, in the Gaudiya Patrika, the monthly magazine, Hindi magazine, that Gurudev was the editor of. So Gurudev said this footnote so many years ago, but we can see how it's very applicable to today because Vaishnava Dharma is eternal. So he says that if a brahmachari or a sannyasi thinks or takes, misunderstands or interpolates this statement by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that all jivas, it is appropriate for all jivas to participate in the grihastha ashram. So if a brahmachari or sannyasi thinks, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this, so it's okay for me to leave my brahmachari or sannyas order and become a grihastha. Srila Prabhupada says, no, it's not okay. Such a person who thinks like this, he's very base, he's very pitiable, he's atheistic, and such an atheistic person is rare in the world. If somebody, some sannyasi or brahmachari thinks it's okay to marry my god sister or my disciple or anybody else, this is base, pitiable, and atheistic. In Badger this year, Srila Gurudev also discussed the same thing, saying anybody who thinks it's okay, he should know it's not okay. It's actually called vantasi, which means one vomits, and then one again eats his own vomit. Gurudev explains, he explained in Badger, and then he also explains in this footnote, if it's okay for sannyasis and brahmacharis to leave their ashram, then why would all of our Vaishnavacharyas, like Ramanujacharya, Madhva Acharya, and so on, why would they have become stalwart sannyasis and made hundreds of stalwart sannyasis? And these sannyasis are going on to the present day. Can you hear me okay, Vinay Prabhu? No? Yes? Okay. So they are remaining sannyas, all the stalwart Vaishnavas. Now, it's also quoted, and this verse is also misinterpreted for people's sense gratification, that in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, which is also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains this verse in the same way, naturally, because Guru is one, in the same way that Srila Gurudev explains the verse in this footnote. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it states that in Kali Yuga, there's five things that are forbidden. One is to beget children in the womb of the, or to have children with the husband, brother, or some kind of relative, because this creates so much tormentuous disturbance in the family. One is forbidden to take sannyas. One is forbidden to perform animal sacrifices. In previous ages, it was okay to do an animal sacrifice because the Brahmins were pure Brahmanas. And in the course of sacrifice, they sacrifice an old animal. And then in the course of sacrifice of saying their mantras, to prove the efficacy of their mantra saying, the animal gets a new life right in the middle of the sacrifice and becomes a young, healthy animal. Because Brahmins are unqualified now, animal sacrifice is forbidden. And the taking of sannyas in Kali Yuga is also forbidden. So Srila Gurudev explains in the purport, what does this mean? It doesn't mean that one takes sannyas and then thinks, one takes sannyas by a bona fide guru and then thinks, well, it's forbidden anyway. Better to be a bona fide grihastha. So Gurudev explains that this statement that sannyas is forbidden actually means that mayavad sannyas is forbidden. The idea that I've become God, God has no form, no love, no mercy. He's impersonal, I'm impersonal, and I'm him. This is forbidden. But regarding the Vaishnava, tridandi sannyas, tri means three, tridandi. Danda means the rod, and that's why the Vaishnava sannyasis have one long rod, and then these two other things sticking out from it. So that means three. So one who serves Krishna by body, mind, and words. Also, it means there's three things always. There's the servitya, that is Krishna, the servitor, that is the devotee, and the service, the act of serving. So these three things are eternal and are totally opposed to the mayavadi unphilosophical thoughts. So this kind of sannyas is applicable eternally, from the beginning of time to the end of time. So Srila Gurudev explains that even on the basis of this verse, which the smarter Brahmins, now we know from the very, very beginning of Jiva Dharma, that it's the smarter Brahmins against pure Vaishnava Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, Bhagavat Dharma, Parad Dharma, Prem Dharma. The two things are in great opposition. So now the smarter Brahmins use this quote from Brahma Vaivarta Purana to say that, well, sannyas, better to be grihastha, sannyas is forbidden in this age. So therefore, a pure Vaishnava Acharya, or more than one even, is needed to explain all the scriptures. Some statements in the same scripture might be for one class of devotees or new devotees. Another statement in the same scripture might be for 20-year-old devotees. And another statement might be for Baba Bhaktas. And it's all in the same book. So how do I know which statement is for me and how to apply it? I need a Vaishnava guru. He can tell me, well, this statement was for you 20 years ago, and this is for you now, and this statement will never be for you in this life, and it's like that. So, the conclusion of Srila Gurudev's footnotes is that it is logical for sadhakas and sadhus who are following Nirvriti Marg, that is the path of renunciation, to take sannyas. Not that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur should be misunderstood and that everybody should be a grihastha including those who have already taken sannyas. An honest, righteous, humble, unhypocritical grihastha can easily advance to become a pure grihastha Vaishnava and then a pure sannyasi, but not one who goes backwards. But even one who goes backwards and falls from sannyas and becomes a grihastha, if he takes shelter of the pure devotee and weeps and repents and laments, and the best he can follows that pure devotee's instructions, considering the fallen condition, then he can also gradually advance to Shuddha Bhakti. So now we're continuing with, we just finished the footnotes, and we're going back to the discussion between Anantadas and Yadavadas, and all the Vaishnavas are sitting around and listening, and Chandidas, of course, is listening with great eagerness. So Anantadas is explaining that a grihastha can even become a guru if he knows Krishna Tattva. Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Sudra Kenyanai, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy. If one is a sannyasi or a brahmana or a sudra or whatever, if he knows the science of Krishna, he can become a bona fide guru. And his children, they can also become grihastha bhaktas if they are trained properly and in the association of pure devotees. The association of such grihastha bhaktas are beneficial for the jivas. Then Yadavadas, who is asking questions for us and for Chandidas, he's asking, regarding a grihastha bhakta, doesn't the grihastha have to be under the thumb, so to speak, of the smartest? Otherwise, there's so much harassment. If a grihastha is living in the world and there's so many smarter brahmins around saying, well, you have to follow this smarter regulation and you have to do this and that, so many mundane things. So how can such a grihastha bhakta advance towards pure bhakti? So Anantadas replied that he will neglect the instructions of anybody who is against his bhakti, whether it's his parents, whether it's his children, whether it's his any relatives, whether it's his friends. In fact, when Srila Gurudev was in, where was he? He was in Florida some years ago, and he had a meeting with all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples so that they could ask their personal questions. So one of them said, a friend of mine is a member of, he's in a big governing body commission position in a big institution, and he's not favorable to my coming to see you, Gurudev, but he's a friend of mine, so I don't know what to do. So Gurudev replied that according to Srila Rupa Goswami, one should make his friendship according to Shastra, that is, he should offer his obeisances with his mind to the Kanista, he should offer his obeisances with his body to the Madhyama, and cooperate with him, and he should give his life and soul to the pure devotee, and he should neglect those who are against the bhaktas, who are against the pure devotees. So one should not base his consideration on sentimentality of who to follow and who to associate with, based on my mundane conception of friendship. I'm telling this example because you may say in the West, in New York, in New Jersey, well, gee, we don't have any smart Brahmins around, so how does this apply to me? In other words, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that everyone should come to the level of the gopis. Their husbands and fathers-in-law and everybody had to stick to them. If you go after Krishna, will beat you. Somehow or other, they got out. So, now Jiva Dharma is really the 900-page explanation of the verse Anyabhi Lasita Sunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavatam. That is, it's the uninterrupted cultivation of activities exclusively performed for the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna. And it's not covered by karma or jnana. So here, Ananta Das is explaining that one can perform the activities of grihastha life, the rituals of grihastha life. Like, for example, one can perform the shraddha ceremony for the deceased relative. But why? Not so that the forefathers will go to the heavenly planets or anything like that, but in order to give prasadam, first the prasadam, the bhoga, is offered to the Lord, and then the prasadam is sent wherever the forefathers happen to be for his Krishna conscious purification, and then the remnants of that prasadam is used to call a big feast for the brahmanas and the vaishnavas. So it becomes bhakti, or it's rather favorable to bhakti. And what does this grihastha Vaishnava talk about at the shraddha ceremony? He talks about Krishna consciousness. We're not this body. So for the smartest, everything they do will be within the realm of karma. And karma, we learned from previous chapters, can never achieve the result of karma. You need bhakti for everything. Unless it's combined with bhakti, then that karma will not cover bhakti, but will be favorable. For example, the shraddha ceremony that I just mentioned. Then it will be anyabhi lasita sunya, jnana karmadi ana avratam. Avratam means to cover. Then it won't cover the bhakti. So therefore, the grihastha Vaishnava is recommended to do all activities with detachment from the results and in a mood of renunciation, in the association of devotees, and for the service of pure devotees. Then there will be no fault, and then he can easily advance. Many Rajarshis, that is, great kings, were very saintly, but they were householders also, and also Deva Rishis. Like, for example, Lord Ram stayed at the ashram of Gautama Rishi, Augusta Rishi, and he had a wife. So the wife and the husband can be great devotees. Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, the Pandavas are all grihasthas. So it depends on the consciousness, the activities, the qualities. Then Yadava Das asks, well, if a grihastha Vaishnava can come to being a pure devotee, then why take renounced order in the first place? So Ananta Das required that it's natural that when one develops fully the qualities of nirapeksha bhakta, or a renounced person, then he should be in the ashram according to his eligibility. And then Yadava Das asks, well, how does one get the eligibility for renunciation? So Ananta Das replied, there's two kinds of human in this world. One has external consciousness, that is, going out into the world and enjoying it. The other is internal, that is, trying to identify with the soul's quality and trying to make the mind merge into the soul and the senses merge into the mind. and the rather than the soul merging into the mind, and the mind merging into the senses, and the senses merging into the objects of the senses, that's called outward, the outward human, and that person just goes to hell. But the inward person, his thing goes backwards, back into the soul. So one can be inward if he's in the association of sadhus, if Krishna is his center, and if he dovetails his activities to the inner in that association. Then when he's expert at that, then he can have the eligibility for renunciation. If he leaves before that, then he will fall down. Now, interestingly enough, Ananta Das starts talking about if a guru gives the renounced order to someone without the eligibility, and naturally that person will have problems, then the guru also falls down. Yet we see that our Srila Prabhupada and our Srila Gurudev did that. Even Prabhupada wrote in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the story of Gajendra. Gajendra was a elephant, and an alligator started pulling him into the water and having a fight with him in the water. So Gajendra would be generally stronger than the alligator, but in the water the alligator is in his own realm, so he's stronger. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes that we've given so many young men sannyas, and we see that they're not when we gave it to them for the purpose of preaching, we see that they're not eligible for sannyas. So okay, if one is addicted to sense gratification in one area, it doesn't mean that he can't be strong in other areas, and he should continue this fight against Maya. So all right, let him be grihastha and continue the fight. So in that regard, and Gurudev also, we see, he's making sannyasis and brahmacharis, and then they're falling down. In fact, I'm one of them. I'm always falling, even though I wear white. Either falling with women or falling with other men or varieties of activities. And yet, they knew ahead of time, like Gurudev said, Prabhupada knew ahead of time that the sannyasis that he made were going to fall down, by and large, and therefore he didn't give them sannyas names. Like, they retained the same brahmachari name, but just they put Goswami or Maharaj at the end of it. And yet we see that Gurudev is also giving the Vaishnava sannyas names, and sannyasis are falling. So, Gurudev explained regarding Prabhupada, particularly that Prabhupada knew that there would be corruption in the Gurukulas, and yet he created the Gurukulas because the material world, let's say the material world is a million point on corruption. So it isn't that corruption entered into the Krishna consciousness movement, but Krishna consciousness, via Srila Prabhupada, and him bringing the whole disciplic succession, kind of like flew in or descended to the 1 million point corruption material world and reduced that corruption, and at the same time gave the corrupt world personalities sadhu sangha and nitya sukritis so that they have the opportunity to come to bhakti in the future. Same thing with the sannyas order. So Gurudev explained once to some of the ISKCON sannyasis some years ago that Prabhupada could do that, but if you try to imitate him, then you'll fall down. If you get so many disciples, and your disciples have so many problems, are engaging in so many immoral activities, will you be able to do your bhajan? Plus, you'll have to suffer their sinful reactions, because you don't know how to absorb them, and you're not a big fire that can just simply burn up the all the garbage or all the karma of the disciples. So when Ananda Das is speaking about gurus who fall for giving renounced order to those who are not eligible. He's not talking about the Uttama Bhaktas, but those who assume the position of guru. Then Yadava Das asks, what are the symptoms of the eligibility that one can renounce? So Ananta Das replied that he should be free from association of the opposite sex. Also, he should be free from the association of the same sex if that same sex is in the mood of the opposite sex. He should give unrestricted mercy to all living entities. As we discussed last night, if there's extra prasadam, then you don't think, oh, I should throw out this prasadam. You think, oh, there's so many fishes and insects and germs and all the different garbages and dumpsters and rivers. Okay, I'm ringing the prasadam bell, everybody. Come on, here's the prasadam. He should only act and obtain wealth and perform those activities that are required to keep body and soul together. He should avoid bad association. Then Ananta Das quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, which states that one should see all living entities in Krishna and Krishna in all living entities. In fact, I know that part of this course is to learn verses. So let's learn this one together. If you can repeat after me. That's on page 166. Gurudev and Prabhupada both quote this verse very often. Sarvabhute suyak pascha. Sarvabhute suyat pascha Bhagavat Paramatmana Bhagavat Paramatmana Bhutani Bhagavatyatmani Bhutani Bhagavatyatmani Esha Bhagavato Tama Esha Bhagavato Tama. So, the way to learn the verse, to keep it in the mind and heart, as we discussed in the first class, is to repeat the verse to at least 5 people. And if you mess up, it doesn't matter, because every time you say it, you'll learn it more. And practice it at least 20 or 30 times in the day. Then he quotes another verse from the third canto by Lord Kapila. What is the symptom of a sadhu? The sadhu worships only me, Krishna says. He's devoted only to me. He gives up all others' association for me. He gives up all other activities that are anti-bhakti for me. And he gives up the sense of possession over his wife, children, and all relatives. If he has wife, children, and relatives, then my wife is the maidservant of Krishna, my children are the servant of Krishna. And if my relatives are favorable, then they're servant of Krishna. If they're unfavorable, then I avoid their association. And if I have to associate, then I do it as shortly and as detachedly as possible. Then, in the 11th canto, Ananta Das then quotes, what are the symptoms of the best devotee? That is, he's chanting Hare Krishna without offense, and because of that, millions of his sinful activities from millions of lives are all destroyed. So he's no longer considered as a Muslim or a Sudra or any material designation. And we discussed all about that in the previous chapters. That even one who's born in a dog-eater family, he can purify his whole family if he chants offensively the holy name just once. And a Brahmana, born in a Brahmin family, even with all the 12 brahminical qualities. If he's not a Vaishnava, he cannot purify even himself. So then when he binds Krishna's lotus feet in his heart with the ropes of his love. When such a person is absorbed like that, then he can become renounced. Then he becomes a Nirupeksha Bhakta, and such a person is very rare. And to get his Sangha, that is very rare. Then Yadavadas says, he's the questioner. Yadavadas is the questioner. And he's asking that what if a sannyasi starts living like a grihastha, taking advantage of association? Is he considered a renunciate or a grihastha? That is, he's living opulently, he's associating freely. And this applies to these days. He's not considered as a renunciate. Yadavadas is asking, he's, suppose a young man, for example, he took the renounced order of life, and in his renounced order of life, he made a place for the sadhus to come. And then what if he again falls, but he keeps chanting, and he's still collecting alms from the people? What's his position? So Anantadas replies that the eligibility for renunciation doesn't depend on young or old. Sukadeva Goswami became a renunciate as soon as he was born. It just depends on his Sukritis of his past lives. And then Yadavadas asked, well, what is real renunciation and what is false renunciation? Because Anantadas said it doesn't matter whether he's young or old. It just matters, one should only see whether his eligibility of renunciation is real or artificial. So then Advaita asks, and Anantadas answers his next question, how do you know what's a real renunciation and what's not? So Advaita Anantadas replies, real is when it's never broken. It's so fixed that he'll never leave it. And false is that he's dishonest. He's just doing it for prestige. He wants the respect of a person who's renounced without really being renounced. He's deceitful. And such kind of false renunciation is inauspicious. Because he takes a renunciation and then he just becomes immoral. Whereas an honest householder is coming up. Honest and detached householder. Then Yadavadas asks, well, is external dress important or is it needed? And Anantadas replies that it helps a person who's in the renounced order, but he's not a pure devotee. All he has to do is look at himself and see what his duty should be and what his duty shouldn't be. And it helps others, like his relatives, who hopefully try to not engage him in material household life when they see what he looks like. But for a pure devotee, it's not needed. He can dress in any way. He could even be naked, like the Abhidhu Dattatreya. He didn't care about dress at all. And then Anantadas replied, I'm sorry, then Yadavadas asked, well, who should you get the renounced order from? And then Anantadas replied, you have to get it from somebody else in the renounced order, not from a grihastha. And then at that point he starts talking about how a guru has to know the eligibility of a disciple, otherwise he falls down. But this does not apply to pure devotees. In Badger, on one morning walk, the devotees were asking Gurudev. See, ladies aren't supposed to be on Gurudev's walk, but I took the form of an insect and I sat on one of the devotees and, well, I sat on a tree. Actually, I sat on a tree and I was listening to this conversation. So the devotees were asking Gurudev that if somebody was a sannyasi and then he becomes a grihastha, can we put him on the class schedule? You know, of all of Gurudev's festivals, there's a class schedule, like 7 o'clock so-and-so gives a class, 10 o'clock so-and-so gives a class. So Gurudev said, if you want to hear that person, as long as they're following me otherwise, like still chanting, still worshipping the deities, then you can do that, but don't try to force others who don't want to hear from that person, who has other considerations, that this person is a fallen person, so I don't want to have to hear from them. You're entitled to respect that person, because that person is, if that person is still, if I accept them as still my disciple and I'm calling on them to speak, you can certainly hear from them, but don't try and force others to hear from them who have a different consideration. Don't try and force others to respect them. It should be, the whole thing either way should be voluntary. And then Yadava Das said very interestingly, now note that this Jiva Dharma takes place a few hundred years ago, maybe 450 years ago. So Yadava Das said, now I understand what you're saying, that unqualified gurus do things so cheaply. So now I see that it's just beginning, but where will it end? So we see that it's going on. Then Ananda Das gives the example of Chota Haridas, that he was in the renounced order, but he just did a very slight fault, and Lord Chaitanya totally rejected him. Not that he was really at such fault, but just to teach us how strict we must be. Then Yadava Das asks, what about a renunciate who sets up a temple and then lives kind of like a householder? So it's that time when Ananda Das said that this person is a vantasi, and Yadava Das says he's no longer a Vaishnava. So Ananda Das replies, he didn't say that he's not. If he's cheating, if he's pretentious, and still pretending to be a renunciate, then Ananda Das says, so what is the benefit to associate with such a hypocritical person? Somebody who's acting against the Shastras and against Vedic Dharma. What relationship do you want to have with a vantasi? And then Yadava Das says, or asks, but what if he's still chanting? So Ananda Das said, his chanting will be Nama Parad. So it's a very fine point. If somebody's fallen from the sannyas ashram, but the guru is not rejecting, the bona fide guru is not rejecting him, then it's up to the individual whether they want to hear from him or not, or associate, or how much. Those who are not accepting him shouldn't force those who are accepting him to not accept him, and vice versa. And that person, that vantasi, if he's repentant and lamentant and though he can't follow the guru's order to give up the grihastha ashram, is doing the best he can under the guru's orders and keeps associating with the guru, then he can also gradually come up to be renounced on the real platform, which is internal. So Srila Gurudev said about Jiva Dharma that there's so many questions that are being asked that we can't even imagine asking. We're so lucky that we're getting the questions and the answers, because we can't, what to speak of thinking of the answers, we can't even think of the questions. So we're very fortunate that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us his causeless mercy. Then the chapter ends with Chandidas now. Now Chandidas is speaking. And he's so grateful. Yadava asked Chandidas, "Are you satisfied that you got your answers now?" So Chandidas said, "I'm so blessed today. I've heard from the mouth of great souls, and I've assimilated what they said." This is the difference between Chandidas and myself. Because I hear something, then just I accept it intellectually, and I really don't understand it. And then, therefore, if somebody asks me a question about it, I can't really answer it because I really didn't get it, although I can repeat what I heard, I can't apply it in other circumstances. So, Chandidas is reviewing what he learned that day. I learned that the jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna. When he forgets Krishna, Maya grabs him, gives him a material body, throws him in the modes of nature. Then he has to experience so-called happiness and distress. He's garlanded because he wants to enjoy the fruits of his material activities. He's thus garlanded with what? Birth, old age, disease, and death. The jivas go into high and low positions, sometimes a aardvark, sometimes a camel, sometimes a slug, sometimes a human, sometimes a demigod. And there's innumerable varieties of identifications. And he has unlimited kinds of sufferings, torments, quarreling with his families and friends, wanting to commit suicide, different diseases and ailments. He gets punished by the government, just like Chandrika. She's working for the government, right? That's what you said? Who is that? Who's working for the government?
Non-government.
Oh, who was it that's working for the government? That's a teacher. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Krishnaveni. Working for the government, and the government won't let her take off to go to Kartik, otherwise they'll give her tremendous trouble. So tormented by the government, punished by the government, insulted by other people, having to suffer old age. When you get old, then your kids hate you and they just want to throw you in an old age home, or they wish you die so that they can get your money, because that's what exactly what happened to Chandidas and his wife. Then they die in unlimited pain, but still, even going through all that, even going through the womb of a mother, still they hang on to that sense gratification. This is samsara, or material existence. So Chandidas says, "I offer my unlimited obeisances to all the Vaishnavas." And all the Vaishnavas are Guru. And all the Vaishnavas call out in glorification of Anantadas. "Sadhu, sadhu, well done, congratulations, good talk, good answers." And then all the Vaishnavas start singing. And what do they sing? They sang the bhajans of Lahiri Mahasaya, who you remember from a few chapters ago, became converted to be a pure devotee from being a smarta Brahmin. And in Lahiri Mahasaya's bhajans, he's singing, that, oh, the jiva is suffering from so much trouble. But then he takes shelter of the cooling Hare Krishna mantra and the shelter of Gornatai. May Gornatai be my refuge. Then all the Vaishnavas, and Chandidas actually sing the kirtan of the Vaishnavas. This is his like first day with the pure devotees, and still he started chanting in ecstasy. He took the foot dust of the Vaishnavas, he rolled on the floor, he wept in joy. Amazing, where am I? I can't believe it. And then all the Vaishnavas called out, oh, Chandidas is so fortunate. And then Yadavadas said to Chandidas, okay, it's time to go. Let's go back to the other side of the river, to Kuliagram. And Chandidas then says, yes, if you cross, taking the river meaning to be the river of samsara, if you cross over the river of samsara, then I can surely cross over in your association. Then they offered obeisances to all the devotees in Pradyumna Kunj and left. And who was outside waiting for them? Chandidas's wife, Damayanti. And despite like being there in the Kunj, even though she wasn't in the Kunj, she was outside or sitting under a banyan tree, just by sitting outside, she was getting so much mercy. And they came out to her and she was condemning herself. Oh, why have I taken the birth of a woman? If I could have taken the birth of a man, I could have had the darshan of all these great sages. I remember one time, about 1995, Gurudev went to Bombay, and in Vrindavan, sometimes the sannyasis would meet with Gurudev, and then we ladies would meet with Gurudev separately. And sometimes we would meet with Gurudev with the sannyasis, the ISKCON sannyasis, when Satsarupa Maharaj wasn't there, because I was formally married to him. Otherwise, I would meet with Gurudev at a different time. So in Bombay, everybody was going to meet together. But the sannyasis told me that I wasn't allowed to go because Satsarupa Maharaj would be there. So Gurudev was joking with me and saying, why, do you still see him as your husband? I said, no. He said, he's just your godbrother now. You should just go. But he was joking because he knew it was against actually the societal way of culture. So I didn't go. I had a separate darshan with Gurudev, but I didn't get to hear his Srimad Bhagavatam class that he was giving the others. And then I met Gurudev on his morning walk, and I said, I wish I was a sannyasi. So Gurudev said, you do? I wish I was a gopi. Like, don't waste your time. So Damayanti was just overwhelmed, just being there. And she said, may I always be, birth after birth, the servant of the Vaishnavas. So then Yadavadas said, yes, this Godrum Dweep is certainly the perfect place to develop Shuddha Bhakti. It's the coward place, the place of the cowards, because it's also Nandagaon, because each part of Navadvip corresponds to a place in Vrindavan. So it's the place of the cowherds, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed so many of his pastimes. And then he quoted Prabodhananda Saraswati, that you should give up all dubious paths, and in that way, give up all the miseries of this world, and give up the material conception of following the Vedas, and give up all dubious paths, which means non-pure bhakti paths, and build yourself a lifa in Godrin Deep. Then the three of them crossed the Ganges to Kuliagram, and she was totally absorbed in their Harikatha because they were sharing with her everything. And they became wonderful Vaishnavas with wonderful Vaishnava characteristics. Both of these previously miserly, stingy, horrible people that wouldn't go on Nagar Sankirtan just because somebody might ask them to spend some money on a Hare Krishna festival. And they became detached from the world. They began to show mercy to all living entities. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur closes this wonderful seventh chapter of Jivadharma by saying, blessed are the merchants. Blessed is this merchant couple, Chandidas and Damayanti. Blessed is the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and blessed is the mercy of Navadvipa. Gaur Premanandi Vahayaribo. Any questions or comments? Actually, that ends this second course, and I beg you all out there in phone land to please excuse me that I am three chapters short of our course. Pretty bad teacher. Yes, yes. Any questions or comments? So we'll try to figure out, since we'll meet with the Chitta Krishna Prabhu, how we can resume it in Vrindavan. Oh, by the way, I have the address, by Basanti's mercy, for ITV, if you want to make a link. It's called ITV Productions. That's one word. itvproductions.net/store, STORE, / HOME .PHP.
And that takes you to all the
different aspects of it. And it takes you to the Prabhupada DVDs and everything, and the children's things, puppet shows and everything. Okay, any questions? Dandabhats, who's this? Hey, Hari Bol, Rani Devi, Dandabhats. Prabhupada's folio, yeah? Right? I have one with me. You want one? You can, Nischintya Prabhu has them. You're right in California. You can just phone Nischintya Prabhu. I have some with me, and we're going to ask Nischintya to bring some to India. But you're already in the same state as Nischintya Prabhu. And hopefully, we'll ask Nischintya to send some to Kartik so we can have for devotees of Kartik time. Okay, good. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, I guess we'll end here then. Panchakavacharubhyascha kripasindubhyeva cha pratitanam padme vaishnavena namah.